You don't have to be a Christian very long to figure out that we're in a spiritual warfare. We're in a battle. We're engaged in a daily battle. The enemy stands against everything that is holy, everything that is righteous, everything that is good. And he seeks to defeat as many believers as possible. He knows this is a campaign that he can never win. But he seeks to create as much damage among the ranks as he can. You see, defeated Christians are no longer productive for the Lord. They're not making a difference in the lives of others. They're not advancing the kingdom for the glory of the Lord. And it's easy to understand why the enemy therefore seeks our defeat. But as we read God's word, we soon find that we need to be successful in the battle, and we've all provided for us to be so. As we walk in communion with the Lord and receive instruction from his word, we are equipped for the battle before us. The Lord provides what we need for a victorious life. Paul reveals the armor all believers are to wear as they engage in the battle with the evil one. He's laid it all out before us here in this chapter 6. We must be familiar with the armor and ensure that it's properly worn if we are to overcome the adversary's advance. His tactics may change, but our armor has been proven in the battle. You see, there's nothing like a good testimonial to sell a product. And if you're a salesman here, I'm not sure if we have any salesmen. But if you're a salesman, well, if you have testimonials of people who have bought your product, you'll make a copy of them, you'll write them out, you'll put them on your website or in your brochures, and it helps to sell your product. And if you go to war, there's nothing like having good body armor to give you a greater confidence and assurance that you might survive an attack from the enemy. Listen to this testimony from a soldier who served in Iraq. I took 3 rounds to the chest with body armor, and all 3 rounds were stopped by the plates. It hurt, but I was still mission capable. I was still able to do my job. And once I got my breath back, I was breathing fine and was thanking the good Lord above that everything was all right. The soldier said he knows the ballistic plates in his protective gear are designed to hold up to a volley of 3 shots, and the gear he wore met that standard. This afternoon, I want to introduce you to the sufficiency of the Christian's body armor. It's very capable of protecting you in the spiritual battles with Satan. You only have to take it up and wear it. You see, that soldier could have given a wonderful testimony to that body armor. But if he had never put it on, it wouldn't have done him any good. It'd have been dead. He would have been dead. Therefore, dear believer, dear soldier of Christ, you are to take up this armor and you are to put it on. If you're going to stand against the evil one in that evil day, you need to be clothed in this armor. It's designed by the Lord, continues to be effective for the soldier's success. The Lord never designs anything that's imperfect or faulty. Everything the Lord does is good. So it's designed perfectly for the soldier in the Lord's army. Every believer must be clothed if they are to obtain victory. And there must be that willingness to get into the battle. Again, I quote from C.T. Studd's book, The Chocolate Soldier. He said, get up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. A lazy Sunday morning surely means harm and loss. The church of God is calling, in duty be not slack. You cannot fight the good fight while lying on your back. There are 6 pieces of spiritual armor named here in Ephesians chapter 6. They're divided into 2 kinds of armor by the use of 2 verbs. For the first 3 pieces of armor, Paul uses a verb translated having, along with another word in verses 14 to 15, having, and then he goes on to say to take in the final 3 pieces of the armor. So the first 3 are there, they're already on us. The second 3 we are to take up ourselves. The first 3 that we already have put them on when we trusted Christ as Savior. But these second 3 we are to take up. So we want to consider the first piece of the armor this morning. We'll think of the belt of truth here in verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So the belt of truth. Notice, firstly, the description of the belt. The description of the belt. The belt of truth tells us of our need to be ready for war at all times. See, as Christians, we're never in a battle. As Christians, we're never sitting, not facing the enemy. We're always in the battle. And the spiritual armor is patterned after the armor and weapons of a Roman soldier of the day. And Paul may have been chained to a soldier as he wrote these words. For instance, these soldiers wore a long tunic that flowed down to the ground, and it was an outer garment that served it as primary clothing. It is usually made of a large square piece of material with holes cut out for the arms and for the head, and ordinarily it flowed down to the ground. But when it came to time for battle, for a time to fight, that soldier would pick up his tunic and tuck it into his belt for mobility in battle. The belt was worn across the midriff and held everything else in place. This piece of armour, it's not glamorous. It may not even be noticed by the enemy, but it's extremely important. The purpose of the belt of truth is to give us a constant readiness for a battle to fight. The beauty of this armour is it's not what we do offensively with it, but it's what it can keep you from. The Apostle Paul is writing it for his own day and generation when it was the custom of the people, everyone, men included, to wear these long and loose garments. And the soldier, as he went out to fight the enemy, out to engage the enemy, he didn't need to be encumbered. He didn't need anything that would hinder him or hold him back. Therefore, he tucked it into his belt. And this was a foundational piece from which all the other pieces of armor could be properly used. You see, if the soldier did not have the belt of truth on, he couldn't lift up a sword and swing his sword because his loose garment would have hindered his arms and hindered his movement. So this piece is foundational. That is why it's first. The first thing the soldier always did when he was getting ready to meet the enemy was to gather all his clothing together and fix it firmly in position by the means of the belt or the tight band that held his clothing in place. You'll find this picture one that's used many times in Scripture. We think of 1 Peter 1 and 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord said in Luke 12 and 35, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. What was he saying? Well, he was saying there that to be always ready. To be always prepared to go. You don't know the day they are of the Lord's return. So be ready for the Lord's return. Be girded of truth. Have your lights brightly shining. So Paul is saying here in Ephesians 6, to be ready. To be focused. To have the belt on. Be ready. This is your first step. Never be caught in a condition when you're not focused on the battle. That's another way of saying stand therefore. Stand therefore having your loins girt with truth. It's a foundational piece of armor. A soldier will never succeed without it. And the process of girding up his tunic removed any carelessness and apathy from this soldier. By girding up his tunic, he knew he was preparing himself for war. His attitude was now coming in line of how serious this situation was. Girding up his tunic gave the soldier confidence to fight in the battle. His tunic was no longer going to hang down loosely, ready to entangle him and trip him up at any moment. What does that mean for us this morning? Well, it means that Satan's chief scheme is to trip us up by having us unprepared for the battle. His aim is to make the Christian soldier careless, to have us to become lazy and apathetic. He would seek to distract our minds and our thoughts, deceive us with false philosophy. He would seek to get us away from searching the scriptures of truth for guidance to live in our daily life. And Paul starts here where we must start, by correcting our attitudes. You see, if you really don't care, if you're really apathetic about this whole warfare thing, if you don't really earnestly desire to live out a holy life, if you don't really care about your life bringing glory to God and having a good testimony in the world, if you have no concern with fulfilling God's purposes for what he has called you to, then there's evidence that you've not been girding your loins with truth. You see, there's always a sense of reason when the deceitful schemes of the wicked one. He's subtle in his approach. He may not trip you up at the first attempt, and you might be able to fight a little with your tunic hanging loosely around you. But the day will certainly come. The day will come when you will trip up. And you think of that child. You know what it's like, parents. The child's run about with their shoelaces open. You say, would you tie your laces? Oh, I'll be all right. And you say, all right, that's an accident waiting to happen. I know it's going to happen. You're going to trip and fall. And they'll run around for a while, and then suddenly you hear the cry. They've fallen. They haven't tied their laces. They've been tripped up. Accident waiting to happen. And what Paul is saying here is, he's saying, stop. Stop right there. Get serious. Gird yourself. Be prepared always for the fight. Otherwise, you will be tripped up. Notice, secondly, the protection of the belt. The protection of the belt. Later on, we're going to see how to use the word of God offensively to fight against the wicked one. But here, on this piece of armor, Paul says we are to use the word of God to protect us defensively. Paul says we are to take the truth of God's word and protect ourselves with it. We are to use it as a belt and to gather all our thoughts around it. Let God be true and every man a liar. In other words, we must rigidly bring our thoughts into captivity by the word of God. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 5 and or 10 and verse 5. We are to be casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So when Paul refers here to the belt of truth, he's speaking of the word of God in the same way that Christ spoke of the truth in John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. The first part of this belt we must put on to stand is made up of God's objective truth in its fullness. It's speaking of a well-rounded knowledge of the word of God. Christ also said in John 8 and 31, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, we are unencumbered when we bring every thought captive to the word of God. And it's no accident today. It's no accident today that we have come to this passage on this day, on Reformation Sunday. That's not luck. That's in the providence of God. Because we think of Reformation Sunday, we are reminded of the words of Martin Luther in regards to the truth of God's word. Rome sought him to recant his confession of faith and give allegiance to the Pope and to the Roman Catholic Church, but he was steadfast. He was steadfast in his faith in Christ alone, by grace alone. He was steadfast in his belief in the Scriptures alone. And he said, unless I am convicted by Scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I can do no otherwise. God help me. Oh, those Christians today, we would have that same boldness to stand for the truth of God's word at all costs. So how does this belt of truth protect us? Well, as Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and 8 and 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And the faith here is representative of God's whole truth and God's person. And we are to have faith in Christ and in his way as revealed in the word of God, the word of truth. What did Christ say? He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And this is the belt of truth that gathers all our thoughts around Christ. We're not to be encumbered by false doctrines and false philosophies. And when we're secured by the belt of truth, when we are focused and secured by God's word alone, we will not be tripped up by these things. You see, we're not to look at the Bible merely intellectually and study it as if it's merely a textbook. But you see, many do that. As many people today know the Word of God. As many men, professors and theologians, they might call themselves theologians, out there that know God's Word, they know Hebrew, they know Greek, they know all the languages better than I do, better than many preachers of the Gospel do. They're professors, they've went through university and have studied theology, but they just treat it as a book. It's just a book, it's like a religious text. Same like the Quran is, or any other religious text, and that's the way they treat it. They don't treat it as the truth. They treat it just as a book. But when we come to this book, we treat it as truth. We don't come to it merely intellectually. But we come of it with our heart. We bring every thought and every subjective to the Word of God and to the Lordship of Christ. And that's the only way to be unencumbered in the battle. When we take God's Word as truth and we live by it, and we secure it on our hearts and our minds, and we live it out on a daily basis as truth. Third point I want to make, and this is the main point I want to make today, the application of the belt. The application of the belt. How do I put on the belt of truth? What does the belt of truth look like for me? Well, it means that you trust all of God's promises. When the battle rages, when it looks like God is not good, and you will ultimately fail, you trust God's word, and you trust his promises, and you trust him that all these things are for your good and for his glory. You trust the promises that we need to taste and see that the Lord is good. You do not let your thoughts go beyond the promises of God's word. And when it looks like God is not in control, and this world is in control, and things are in chaos, you bring your thoughts away from those deceptions, and you tell yourself that God works all things after the counsel of his will. You bring every thought into captivity to the word of God and obedience to that word and to Christ. James tells us in James 4 and 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And Satan's battle against you, it's always in the mind. He's going to try to bring your thoughts away from God's word, away from God's promises. And you must battle him. You must resist him. You must resist him taking captive of your thoughts. And how do we do this? You submit yourself to all the promises of God. If God says it, it is true. If God says it, it is true. You get your thoughts under the belt of truth. Let the word of God hold back any thought that would discourage you or distract you. The belt of truth then is simply that the word of God governs our entire perspective on any circumstance in life. Yes, the devil tries to confuse us, tries to lead us away with regard to what we believe. He'll say, have God said that? Are you sure that's what he said? Are you sure that's what he means by that promise? Are you sure he didn't mean this or that? Or maybe that promise is for some other Christian, not for you. And he'll try to distract you and confuse you. But remember, dear friend, that he is a liar. He's a murderer. He's the accuser of the brethren. He is our adversary. And as we have seen, he exercises all his power in order to create confusion and uncertainty in your heart and mind. And how can we fight against him? Gird up your loins with truth, with the truth of God's word. And there's really no hope for us in this fight of the devil, of all his wiles, unless we possess and are possessed by the truth. Without a knowledge of what we believe and of him in whom we believe, we are already undone. We are defeated. That's why he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Gird up the loins of your mind. The girdle is the first in the list of the weapons of our warfare. So let us be resolute to obey the apostle's exhortation, and having done all, to stand. We all have to face this ultimate and final question. Do we accept the Bible as the word of God, as the sole authority in all matters of faith and practice in our lives, or do we not? See, there's no middle ground. Is the whole of my thinking governed by Scripture? Or do I come with my own reasoning and pick and choose out of Scripture the things that fit in of what I like? And do I sit in judgment upon it, putting myself in a position of ultimate authority? Why should we always return to the Bible when we have doubt? Why should we believe it? Well, Paul says we should not be as children, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And the only way to avoid being deceived is to have a compass, to have a map, to have an authority, to have something solid on which we can base our whole life. You see, God's word endures forever. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It will never lead us astray. And even though this book is thousands of years old, it hasn't changed. And even though men have sought to destroy it down to the years, God said he will preserve his word forever. It endureth forever. We can depend upon it this morning. And let me say, the lost person here, those who have not trusted Christ as Savior, cannot put on the belt of truth. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And the truth of God in his word is nonsense to the unbeliever. And that's why when you go into the city or talk to people about God's word, they laugh at you. So that's a fairy tale. It's no such thing as that's written by men. That's the thoughts of men, and they'll pick parts out of it. They'll say, oh, do you eat shellfish, and do you wear mixed fibres, and they pick parts out. They know nothing of it. It's not spiritually discerned. And dear friend, this morning, if you're not saved in this meeting, you don't truly understand this book. Oh, you might know something of it. You might read it. You're like those theologians and those professors who know about it, but you don't know the God of it. You don't know the Christ in this book. And the only way you will ever wear the belt of truth is if you come this morning, you repent of your sin, you turn away from your sin, and you trust in Christ as your Savior. And praise God if you do that. Then you can apply this belt of truth to you this morning also. For the Christian, how do we then put on the belt of truth? You put it on by studying and by utterly surrendering to the revelation of God and his word. We either take everything in the word of God and surrender ourselves every inch to it, or we have no authority at all. You either submit completely to it, or else one man's opinion is as good as another man's. Now, therefore, that means of no authority at all. You see, before you can ever succeed in girding your loins about of truth, you have to come to God's word, as Paul says, as a little child, as a fool, as he says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, if any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit to aid us and guide us and teach us all things. But we must abandon ourselves to the truth of the word of God. We must not listen to the adversary, the devil. We must not come under the power of our flesh and the deceptive desires of the old life that still dwell in our flesh. It's so easy. We read God's word and there's something there and there's a battle going on and we know we must obey it. I must obey that. I must do that. But we seek to make excuses and, I know I need to do that, but I'll do this and I'll do it another time. And there's that battle. We need to crucify those old things. Crucify the old man, as Paul says in Ephesians 4 and 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What did David say in Psalm 119? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Look back to our text. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You cannot stand without the belt of truth. You will be tripped up by distractions and deception if you're not anchored in the word of God. You must trust God implicitly if you are to battle the wicked. Remember verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And you and I, as God's children, We're not just wrestling against false religion or false teachers, but we're fighting against a higher foe, a spiritual enemy. And therefore, we must gird ourselves with the belt of truth. We must resist the schemes of Satan and his ways. We must not be caught out or dragged down by his falsehoods. Therefore, we must cling to the Word of God. Let me leave you with some practical application for putting on the belt of truth this morning. You see, the Christian's called to be looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If we look on to him. We look unto him, and sadly, many Christians are confused and are snagged by looking on to things around them. Many are confused, and they're influenced by the world. You see, you cannot gird up the loins of your mind through, unless it's through the true biblical belt of God's word. You need to put off the old sinful communication, 2 Timothy 2 and 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him whom he hath chosen to be a soldier. And dear friend, maybe today you're caught up in social media. You're caught up in the things of the world in that sense. And, you know, so many people today, when they want an answer from God's word, they'll go to YouTube. And I've heard of many people, and they'll just stick on a clip on YouTube and they listen to a man they know nothing about. He might use the authorized version. He might think, well, that's okay. But they know nothing of his background. They know nothing of what he believes. And they'll listen to it and they're watching this clip and that clip. Rather than come to God's word and get before God themselves and study for themselves, they'll take a shortcut. I'll put on Facebook. I'll find the answer there. Ease our conscience. And many people are being led astray by false doctrine. It's everywhere to be found, especially in this time that we live in. Many people are influenced by social media, by normal media, by the news, by what's going on in the world. And we have to get away from these things. We need to keep our mind focused on the Word of God. Get your mind off those things of the world. Don't get distracted. You know what it's like? You come to social media, you'll end up spending hours on it, and God's word will never be opened. Be set aside, you'll never look at it. Never look at it. Spend hours on Facebook, spend hours on YouTube, and spend hours watching television, but God's word, a few minutes, and that's enough. How do you expect to put on the belt of truth? How do you expect to stand in battle if that's what you've been filling your mind with? Is it any wonder the devil distracts us easily? How easy, and I pull my hand up here, how easy is it to get distracted? You go onto Facebook for a few moments and you're distracted. The devil, you go onto this page, it brings you onto something else. Before you know it, you've whiled away half an hour, maybe an hour, wasted time, and you haven't looked at God's word. It's so easy to be distracted. We need to remove the distraction. We need to search our own hearts for those idols that take us away from God's word. What is it that consoles you if it's not God's word, if it's not Christ? What consoles your life this morning? Is it God's word? Or is it the media? Is it the things of the world? What is driving your mind? Is it some idol? Is it sports? Is it your job? Is it your family? Is it your car? What is your idol? What is driving your mind this morning? What is filling your mind? You see, you are to seek first the kingdom of God. Let your thoughts, let your affections be brought into subjection to Christ and his beauty and his word. Then what will happen? All these things shall be added unto you. Open up the Bible. We think of the blessed man in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The man who's focused, the woman who's focused, the one who has the belt of truth on, is focused in God's word, will prosper. You'll be able to stand. You'll be able to stand Stand by studying your Bible and expect all kinds of resistance when you do so. Well, that's when the devil will attack. When you open this book, when you get down before the Lord in prayer over his word, that's when your mind will be filled with distractions. That's when you will be attacked the most. But claim the promises of his word. Pray God's promises back to him. Stand upon the promises of God's word. Secure the belt of truth, and you'll be able to resist the devil. The devil desperately wants to keep this book out of our minds and our hearts, because a Bible-less Christian is no threat to him. How can we tell if we have the belt of truth fastened tightly? It's when we have absolute confidence in the word of God. We'll settle the issue that this is God's word, and it's trustworthy at every point. When we truly believe it, that this is God speaking on every page. One commentator said, "The Bible is none other than the voice of him that sitteth upon the throne. Every book of it, every chapter of it, every syllable of it, every letter of it is a direct utterance of the Most High." Oh, the belt of truth is secured when our beliefs and doctrines are governed by Scripture alone. May we be like the Bereans who search the Scriptures, not believing something is true because it works or makes you feel good. Not believing something is good because you're tingled by it or you have an emotional reaction to it. But because you searched out God's word, you've claimed the promises of God's word, you've lived by them, you've proved them. You've proved them. You're wearing the belt of truth when your standard of behavior is governed by Scripture, not governed by current social trends or what is convenient and what is easy. How does one begin to do what is necessary to stand in this fight? We begin by having the right attitude, a desire to fight well, to win the spiritual battles we engage in, a desire that is strong enough to drive us to do what is necessary. Is your life controlled this morning by the word of God, the authority of God's word? You see, for the Christian, this is a living book. It's an engrafted word, it's a living word, it's organic, it's alive, it's producing joy and rest against the schemes of the devil. It's Bible, it's more than a textbook for theology. It's a revelation of who Christ is and who God is. And when you read it, bring all your thoughts captive to it. That's the purpose of the belt of truth. Put on the mind of Christ. Bring all your thoughts captive to the word of God and to the obedience of Christ. Are you dressed for spiritual success? What are you fighting with this morning? Are you taken captive by the schemes of Satan? Does he bring you into discouragement and doubt? How can you fight against him? How do you face the future? How do you deal with temptation, the devil, and the uncertainty of life today? Here is the answer. May God give you the grace and strength to have your loins girt about with truth. And stand for truth in this day, for the Lord's name's sake. Amen.